Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. Do you think this has been a crazy enough weather day? We had a few snow flurries. I mean, it has been unbelievable. It is Monday, March the 19th, 2012. Spring officially starts tomorrow. I'm Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show. We're now in our 10th month here on KVOI, The Voice, and The Voice Network stations KJAA AM 1240 in Globe and KAPR AM 930 in Douglas. We live stream the show at buckmastershow.com and at kvoi.com. You can hear our programs on any three venues, 24/7, anywhere, buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, tucsoncitizen.com. All carry the program for you. We usually post that about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the show. But we are live right now, Monday through Friday, noon to one. We'll get things rolling with the Monday Political Face-Off featuring commentators John Munger and Vince Robago. 30 minutes past the hour, Arizona Attorney General Tom Horn will join us for some comments on today's federal hearing in the constitutional challenge to a state law targeting Mexican-American studies in TUSD. Then 45 minutes past the hour, our education contributor, Dr. Robert Hendricks, will be along. We'll be talking about homeschooling. Is it right for your child or your grandchild? You can be part of the conversation, 790-2040. You can email us at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. The Monday Political Face-Off features commentators John Munger, Tucson attorney, former Republican candidate for Arizona governor in 2010, and Vince Robago, 2010 Democratic candidate for Arizona Attorney General. The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by our friends at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. John and Vince, how was your weekend? Both of you trying to stay warm today?
Great weekend, except the golf game got canceled.
I know my kids were hoping for a big snowstorm. They wanted a snow day off here in Tucson, Arizona.
I think we saw a few flurries this morning. You were in, happened to be in federal court this morning and saw a little bit of Tom Horn, who will be with us here about 30 minutes past the hour, John Munger. How did he do in court today?
Tom did a fabulous job this morning. I was very impressed. As a lawyer myself, I understood what he was arguing. He argued, superbly. I thought he had the better part of the argument by far. He told it like it was. The judge was prepared. I think it went very, very well for Tom, so I commend him for that.
You know, I also happened to be in court today, watched the arguments there as well, and I thought quite the opposite. I thought that the judge... I do agree the judge is very prepared and did not appear in any way to be biased towards one side or the other, which is always good.
I agree with that.
But the reality is I think at the end of the day that a program which is designed to essentially terminate one program, Mexican-American Studies, focusing on one ethnic group in a way that is vaguely defined so that it is in the eye of the beholder as to what is violating that law, that there's such a level of vagueness there. Not to mention all the equal protection concerns that exist when you're focusing on one group to terminate one program, irrespective of the language used. That's what you're doing. So this anti-Mexican-American studies law essentially, I think, is going to fall for being unconstitutional.
Well, I don't think so. You know, as you know, Bill, I've read the books from the Mexican-American ethnic studies program, and they are – those books teach oppression. They teach the kids that they have been oppressed, that they should
– happens to be true.
That they – and there's nothing wrong with showing you've been oppressed, but it's done in the context of showing oppression, treating people as a group rather than individuals based upon their individual character. It teaches that you've been oppressed, that you and your group should isolate yourselves forms solidarity against other racial groups, and even take back the southwestern United States, what they call the Reconquista. And I've read the books, and that's what they preach. It's classic.
The Reconquest.
The Reconquest. It is classic Marxist liberation philosophy. And I know, you know, I have trouble arguing with people who haven't read the books because I've read them.
And I've read them too, and I've also actually written a legal brief on behalf of 26 national education Hispanic scholar groups and regional civil rights groups that filed what's called a friend of the court brief, which was filed last week on behalf of finding the law unconstitutional. And the reality is much of that alleged the stuff that you just heard from John, this Reconquista, these are false distortions of writings in literature which are being used to demonize a course of study that has existed since 1972, that has been well-respected nationally. Mm-hmm. In fact, the University of Arizona just completed its introduction of a Ph.D. program in Mexican-American studies. So what you have is right-wing conspiracy nuts pushing the idea that there's this secret reconquest being planned.
No, it isn't
by
secret,
radicals.
Vince. It isn't secret.
And you know where that comes from? It comes from back in the early 70s. The fact that Hispanics that were here were not Mexican. They're not from Mexico. They don't have a national tie to Mexico. But they were also not being respected or treated well here in the United States. And so they were in between, right? In between two cultures. So there's this mythology radical writing.
Let me comment. This is part of the Mecha program. The Mecha program has as part of its symbol a stick of dynamite that's lighted. The white students have and other students have sworn out affidavits that the judge has seen that indicates that they are entirely uncomfortable, that they are discriminated against in the class by other students who treat them as the oppressors after they hear this. I will tell you that Sean Arce, who teaches the program, and some of the other people that teach the program are avowed Mecha people, and they support this type of solidarity within the racial group that isolates themselves, treats people, and teaches students to treat themselves as a member of a group rather than and treat others as a member of a racial group rather than as a member based upon their own individual character. It's completely antithetical, for example, to the teachings of Martin Luther King. And part of the problem we have in this society is one group here in this particular case feels it's okay to race bait and treat others with prejudice because they have been oppressed. And I agree with Vince. There has been oppression in the past. But teaching the students hatred and racial hatred is not the answer. And that's what's being taught. And it is classic.
It's not just in the past,
Marxist.
John.
It is classic Marxist ideology. And Tom Horn made it very clear. There's no problem with teaching oppression in the classroom, and how various groups' perspectives ought to be taught is fine, but you ought not be teaching it in a manner that will build racial resentment and group prejudice from one group, one race versus another race, and that's the difference. There's nothing wrong with being taught that one group was oppressed. That, in fact, happened. But teaching hatred with it is a big difference.
Here's the difference. Here's the big white lie that has been propounded and purportedly asserted by Tom Horn, folks like John Munger, and all of those that are unfairly and falsely demonizing this program. The reality is this district and this program was created out of a federal desegregation order where they found inequality, inequity, against Mexican Americans. So there's already a level of equal protection oversight. This was created as a method of reaching what's called post-unitary status, and it does it in such a way that all students are eligible to take it, and it gives perspectives of those that have experienced discrimination and look at history from the perspective that is usually kept out of the history books.
So this came out of the DSEG order from the mid-1970s.
Absolutely. That's baloney.
It is not baloney. In fact, it is not baloney.
The federal judge in the desegregation case just last week or two weeks ago acknowledged,
and the special master said that this was part of the post-unitary plan.
Well, here's the problem. So Vince, please let me tell what the reality is. Yes, there was an order that there had to be some better treatment of the Hispanics back. This was in the 60s and 70s. Yes.
78.
But he's making it sound like the federal government approved this program. And the federal government
That's not what I made it sound like. Yes. And that's not what I said at all. I'm telling you how this program arose, and you want to interrupt me with false distortions so you can squelch out the viewpoint of what's really happening. Let me please finish, John.
Go ahead.
This is not a situation that the federal government came in and said, please,
never said that.
Please teach this program.
Never said that.
There was some money that came in, and this money has been absconded with by the people that control this program. They brought in teachers to teach this program who weren't even certified at the time to teach this program. And these are people that have finally become certified. But at the time they took over this program and made it into what it was, they were not certified teachers. They basically have run away with this program. They have called other teachers who've called it on it, they've called them openly racist and tell them to stay out. This is race baiting at its worst.
So now may I finish the position?
Sure, go
ahead.
Vince
obviously Urbano. He didn't answer anything I was saying, which is the fact is this was created to address past racism, to present the perspective of
Mexican-Americans. Created by the TUSD district.
Created by TUSD in compliance under their full statutory authority to create curriculum. And then what happened is you have such a wave of anti-Hispanic hysteria by the Republican Party at the state legislature to pass bills not only like 1070, which expressly allows for racial profiling, but then you have this law, which was designed to kill the Mexican-American studies program.
Well, here's the problem.
And gentlemen, let me pick up on this caller who didn't want to go on the air, but the caller says it doesn't matter how the program came about. It only matters what it evolved.
My point is that it's a falsehood is what they're saying. The reality is if you've designed a program specifically to give the perspective of these Mexican Americans, and now you create this state law to go in there in this zone of equal protection that already exists and try to wrench it out, this is no different than the Southern states' efforts to try to restrict equality that happened after Brown versus the Board of Education. Did you know,
for example, Bill, we have programs that at TUSD that teach about Polynesians, they teach about Asians, they teach about various racial groups. There are no problems with this. The one program that has been stolen by this radical extremist group is the Mexican American Ethnic Studies program. And the person that wrote in is exactly right. It doesn't matter where it came from. As long as people didn't understand this was given the imprimatur of the federal government, which I thought, okay, I was mistaken. Maybe that's what I thought you were saying, but it's what it sounded like. But it was not given the imprimatur of the federal government. This was a program done badly and by TUSD and has evolved into a terrible program.
We have to take a break here. Passion's running very, very high on the Buckmaster Show. Vince Rabago is here and John Munger. We're talking about today's federal court hearing on Mexican American Studies. We continue on the Buckmaster Show right after this.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Everyone is switching to high-efficiency appliances because they have money, and a Culligan high-efficiency water softener does the same. But did you know that you can rent rather than buy? Think about it. No equipment to pay for upfront, money-saving purchase options if you change your mind, and service calls are included in the rental rate. In fact, you'll never have to pay for another water softener, ever. So now you can get all the benefits of soft water for less when you rent from Culligan. Imagine a spot-free home, softer skin, and brighter laundry for dollars a day. Even better, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy, plus helps all your appliances last longer. Let your Culligan man take care of your water when you rent the world's most efficient water softener. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for bio development. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com. Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives, expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
Well, 22, a very heated Monday political face-off. Been talking about Mexican-American studies with John Munger and Vince Rabago, and that hearing in federal court. We'll hear more about it from Tom Horn in about 10 minutes. The Monday political face-off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's is located at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. John Munger, we'll begin with you. I want to bring this up because you've been getting some bad press over the last couple days, because your firm, your law firm, is representing a Mr. Glenn Spencer, the head of the American Border Patrol, a public figure well known for his inflammatory rhetoric. Why did you decide to represent Mr. Spencer?
Well, Mr. Spencer was the American Border Patrol is a group that does research on technology that works on border issues, and they try to develop technology that will help the federal government and the state government better control the border. I mean, this is all kind of electronic technology. He went down to speak to the legislature at the request of the legislature, a request of a senator. He went down to speak to the legislature, and two Democratic senators got up and walked out, claiming he was a racist and an anti-Semite and a member of a vigilante militia group. And then the executive director of the state Democratic Party, Luis Heredia, put out a statement that he was a racist and an anti-Semite. And this guy is just not that. He is a guy that is doing technological research. Number one, he doesn't have any troops. He doesn't have any people that are out walking the border. To call him a vigilante militiaman is nuts. In fact, he spoke out against the Minutemen and Chris Simcox, and against people who attempted to enforce border laws other than through standard law enforcement authorities. Number two, the thought that he's a anti-Semite or a racist is just absurd. This guy has actually gone around. I've read his speeches. He goes around and he what he preaches is that we all need to work together to control the border. And it's got nothing to do with race. It's got to do with controlling the border. But you see, they don't like what he's preaching. And so they call him a racist. The definition of a racist these days, Bill, is a racist is somebody who's winning an argument with an extremist liberal.
Vince Rabago, what about Mr. Spencer?
Hey, the reality is apparently John hasn't done his homework on his own client. This is a gentleman who back in 1996 wrote a letter to the Los Angeles Times, and I can read a little quote from that, where he said, "The Mexican culture is based on deceit. Chicanos and Mexicanos lie as a means of survival." And he has been essentially, as far back as 2003, by the Anti-Defamation League, which is designed to fight against anti-Semitism, has been labeled a racist right before the day he spoke. they talked about why is the legislature bringing this virulently anti-Hispanic, anti-Semitic individual, a bigot, to come and testify. And what John doesn't tell you is the fact is he has volunteers that are in fact armed. They claim they don't carry any high-powered rifles, but even in his own action plan, he would send people out, and they called them Hawkeyes, and they would be armed. And he says, we don't send troops out ourselves. We just accompany other patrols, meaning these like the Minutemen and these other high-powered – those are all facts. They're out there. Yeah. They're, let me cite you two for your readers can look them up themselves. Look at, for example, the Anti-Defamation League's report back in 2003, Border Disputes, Armed Vigilantes in Arizona. Yeah. Let's heavy look. Section it, about Mr. Glenn Spencer.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem. Okay. I got a call. Yeah. What started this was I got a call from this, frankly, wacko reporter at the New Times in
up
in Phoenix. This guy was the most unprofessional reporter I've ever talked to. And you know, Bill, I've talked to hundreds of reporters. This guy didn't want to hear what my point of view was. He wanted to try and indoctrinate me about Glenn Spencer. I have read Glenn Spencer's writings. Glenn Spencer does not have a group of people. There was a point in time where he would go on what he would call photo safaris, and he would go out and take pictures, but that was all they ever did. They were never trying to enforce any border laws. In fact, he has spoken out against trying to enforce border laws through other than law enforcement authorities. What's happened here, Bill, is you get these radical extremist groups on the left who build on each other. And one of them calls him a racist, and then the other one says, well, he says he's a racist, so he's a racist. And then the other guy says—
These are all based on his own words.
Well, here's the problem,
let's get into
Vince,
some more of that.
Vince, I've read his words. I've read that, for example—
Did you know, John? Do you know that he's
Vince,
a regular— Go ahead.
Let
go
me
ahead,
finish.
John, then let me talk.
He spoke at a group back in Virginia. Various PhDs from Vanderbilt University, from Harvard, spoke at this same thing. He actually spoke against what this group believed in and was harassed by the crowd. People didn't like what he said. And what he was saying was, look, we all need to work together to solve this problem. The border is out of control. And Vince, you may or may not agree with that, but that doesn't make him a racist or a vigilante militiaman.
Can we take this call real quickly? Let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. I don't like to keep anybody waiting on the live line because this program is for those folks too. Chris, go ahead.
Hi there, folks.
What's your comment, Chris?
Just don't like hearing that term that the Latino community or the Hispanic community, like your guest Vince speaks for everybody. Not even everyone in the Latino community agrees with ethnic studies. When I was at San Diego State back in the early 70s, before it got down to the high school level, we call it Chicano studies. And the whole thing about imperialism and Aslan and the stealing of the Southwest from Mexico, instilled a lot of bitterness in those days, and some of us learned to assimilate, and we went on with our lives, and things got better, and I don't think it's good teaching it to high schoolers.
Okay, thanks, Chris.
So, that's you know, we already covered that, so yeah. Let me continue. Here's the situation.
About
the reality
Glenn
is
Spencer.
Glenn Spencer likes to preface everything he says with, I'm not a racist, I've got Jewish friends, this is about immigration. But the reality is, he's a regular speaker, for example, at the American Renaissance Conference. That's the kind of group that actually promulgates and pushes junk science that claims that blacks are genetically prone to being psychotic. He himself, Mr. Spencer himself, put on his own website,
quickly,
for example.
Vince, quickly, give me the bottom line.
Sure. Put something from this guy named H. Millard from the Council of Conservative Citizens that bemoaned the, quote, slimy brown mass of glop, quote, that immigration and interracial relationships are
final,
making in the
US.
Now, if that's not a racist, and if the Republican Party,
if the Republican Party
wants to back anti-Hispanic racists like John is pushing, that's up to them.
Vince, the guy's two daughters are married to Jewish people. Both of his sons-in-laws are Jewish.
Therefore, he gets a free pass for being racist?
He went and spoke to these groups once, and on each occasion, they didn't like what he said, and they dissed him and never invited him back because he was speaking against what they believed in.
Got
to go. Republican Party has become anti-Hispanic, and that's the end of the story.
Guilt by association.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing sponsoring the Monday Political Face-Off. Moe's is located at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Tom Horn is coming up next on the Buckmaster Show.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. A Seattle attorney says he met for more than 3 hours today at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, with his client, Army Staff Sergeant Robert Bales, suspected of killing 16 Afghan civilians earlier this month. Security has been boosted at schools and synagogues around France after today's shooting outside a Jewish school in the city of Toulouse left a rabbi, his two young sons, and another child dead. Mitt Romney says President Obama is attacking economic freedom in America. Romney today blaming Mr. Obama's economic policies for what he calls a tepid recovery. Looking at Wall Street, heading into the final half hour of today's trading, the Dow is up about 18 points, the Nasdaq ahead 28, and the S&P 7 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
There are times when you save, and there are times when you
save big.
Whoa. Take vehicle loans, for instance. Any time of the year, Pyramid Federal Credit Union can help you save with lower rates. But now, for a limited time, we're helping you
save big.
That means rates as low as 4.5% APR when you buy or refinance a vehicle loan. Plus terms up to 60 months, whether it's new or used. You won't just save. You'll
save big.
That never gets old. Stop by any Pyramid Federal Credit Union or visit us at pyramidfcu.com to learn more. That's 4.5% APR vehicle loans for a limited time. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options.
That's huge.
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Learn more at pyramidfcu.com. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Boy, that was a very, very heated political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at the top of the hour today with Vince Robago and John Munger talking about Mexican-American studies and today's hearing. I want to remind you, support for the Buckmaster Show comes in part from Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. And that hearing in the constitutional challenge of a state law regarding Mexican-American studies was held in federal court today. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line is the Attorney General for Arizona, Tom Horn. Mr. Horn, how are you today?
Hi, Bill. It's always good to be with you.
Well, we had a very heated political face-off here this morning. Both our regular commentators, Vince Robago and John Munger, were in court witnessing the proceedings this morning, and you have led the charge against the Mexican-American Studies program when you were the Superintendent of Public Instruction. Today, I understand you released a document in support of the Arizona Department of Education. What was the crux of the hearing today, Mr. Horn?
Well, the legislature has a legitimate interest to declare, as it did declare in the statute, that it wants schools to teach kids to treat each other as individuals based on what they know, what their skills are, what their character is, and on the basis of what race they were born into. And also, the legislature doesn't want our history courses balkanized. If Mexican-Americans can insist that they have their own view of American history, then you could have the same for Irish-Americans, Italian-Americans, German-Americans, maybe the German view of World War II, and so on. And the legislature has a right to say, no, we teach all kids American history, this same course. It has items in it about the contributions of all different minority groups where we teach it to the kids together. We don't balkanize our education by teaching every different ethnic group a different version of American history.
Now, it sounds like that the other side is arguing, Tom Horn, that this law is vague. Is that correct?
Yes.
Well,
yes. They're arguing that, but the case law says it just has to be understood by a person of average intelligence. I think a person of average intelligence understands what it means to teach kids to resent people of other races, to teach kids that what is important is ethnic chauvinism and not treating other people as individuals. To have a course that's primarily designed for students of one particular ethnicity and balkanize them in that way. I think a person of ordinary intelligence can understand what that means.
Do you think that the course was teaching the overthrow of the United States?
Well, the ultimate finding didn't find that, but the argument can be made because they taught that the Southwest should be given back to Mexico. And in 1861, we certainly viewed breaking up the states as overthrowing the government.
I want to mention this New York Times article. Did you see it today?
Yeah, it was idiotic.
Your quote is idiotic.
Yeah, the reporter had no idea what he was writing about. He never called me, by the way, and I would have been happy to give him a copy of my findings, so he would have realized what a racist course this is. He had no idea.
And you are quoted throughout the article.
Probably from the things I've written.
Well, he says in the New York Times that on January 1, after a new state law targeted Mexican-American studies, courses that are perceived as anti-white was upheld. It became illegal to teach something called Mexican White Boy in Tucson classrooms. And apparently this is a story about a hero that hopes to become a pitcher on his school's baseball team.
Well, the course doesn't prohibit. I mean, this is an example of the ignorance of the reporter, and it's, unfortunately, it's typical of the New York Times. The statute does not forbid any books at all. No books have been forbidden. All the books are in the libraries. Last count, I think there were 112 copies of the books that were used in these courses in the libraries. The students can read the book anytime they want to. And as far as we're concerned, that book can be used as part of a course if they want to. The issue is the overall racist nature of the course, not any specific books.
You know, there are a couple of perceptions, and I brought this up yesterday in my interview, or actually last week, excuse me, with Superintendent Hoopenthal, and I brought it up again Friday with John Pettacone, the head of the TUSD district, about the perception nationwide, Tom Horn, that the books are being banned in TUSD, and the perception that here is a state where nearly 4 out of 10 people are Hispanic that doesn't allow Mexican-American studies to be taught. Those are a couple of the perceptions out there.
Well, you know, they're good at promoting myths that have no basis in fact. No books have been banned. The books are all in the libraries. It's just a myth saying that books have been banned. As far as Mexican-American studies, I don't think that it's appropriate to have that. I think kids should be all together learning about American history together. They should learn about the contributions of all different minority groups. School is a place to broaden kids' horizons, not to narrow them. And you don't divide kids by race and then teach each race only about its own history. You teach all kids together about all of our history, including the contributions of different ethnic groups and including instances of racial oppression that have occurred historically. We have nothing against that, and the statute specifically allows that. But what we don't want them to do is divide kids up by race and then within that classroom foment a resentment against other races, or teach kids that was important to their ethnic solidarity rather than teaching them what was traditionally the role of the public schools in the United States, is to bring kids of different backgrounds together and treat them to teach each other as individuals and not on the basis of the race they were born into.
The New York Times article today said this conflict dates back to 2006 when Dolores Huerta, a labor activist, gave that speech at Tucson High telling students, "Republicans hate Latino." Would you say that was the origin of this whole controversy?
Yeah, it was. And I was superintendent of schools at the time, and a lot of people came to me and said, "You shouldn't allow controversial speeches in the schools." And I said, "No, well, we encourage controversial speeches. Kids learn from them, but they need to hear both sides." So Margaret Garcia Dugan, who is comes from an immigrant family and was my chief deputy, is now my chief of staff in the Attorney General's office, went to the school and gave a speech where she said, "I'm a proud Latina and I'm a proud Republican and I don't hate myself." And unlike Dolores Huerta, she didn't give a partisan speech. She gave a very high-level speech telling kids to be skeptical of what they hear and to avoid stereotypes. And in the middle of the speech, these kids from the class, which at that time was called the Raza Studies class, Raza means the race in Spanish, stood up, turned their backs to her, put their fists in the air, and when the principal asked them to sit down and listen, they walked out on their principal. And, you know, as superintendent of schools, I've been to over 1,000 schools. It's the only case I ever saw where kids were rude to a guest speaker. And so we asked for the curriculum to see what was going on, and at first they resisted, but when we eventually saw the curriculum, we saw the racist nature of it, and that started the process.
Do you think there is a place for Mexican-American studies, another type of redesign of a course in TUSD?
Personally, I don't, but the statute is more specific than that. Although the statute prohibits courses that are specifically designed for students of a given ethnicity, that if it's primarily designed for them, it doesn't have to be exclusive, but if it's primarily designed for them. So I would say probably not. You know, traditionally, people teach about their ethnic background at home, whether it's Irish-Americans, Italian-Americans, German-Americans, or whatever. School isn't the place to learn about their own ethnic background. That's what you learn at home. And at school, you learn more generally about American history. You broaden your horizons. You learn about other people. But in that process, in the American history course, there is also performance objectives that require that the students learn about the contributions of different minority groups, including their own.
Let me ask you, Tom Horn, how does TUSD move on? It's a question that I also put to Mr. Pettacone and to the superintendent, John Hoopenthal, last week. How do you think they should move on?
They should move on by doing what the other school districts in the state do, which is bring the kids together in one class, teach them American history, including the contributions of different minority groups, teach them to treat each other as individuals and not on the basis of their race, to treat each other based on their knowledge, their skills, and their character, not what race they haven't been born into, and teach them to be good American citizens.
Where does this go from here? Did the judge indicate what happens next, Tom?
No, he took it under advisement, so we have to wait for his ruling.
And what ruling are you hoping for?
That he'll hold that the statute is constitutional.
Okay, and that could and no idea time frame what we're looking at on that.
Now, when the judge takes a case under advisement, you never know when they're going to rule.
Can I throw another topic at you real quickly here?
Sure.
Arizona has put to death, I believe, more inmates this year than any other state in the country. How do you feel about the death penalty? You're an advocate for it, aren't you?
Well, in some cases, not in all cases, not even in all murder cases, but in especially outrageous cases, I think one person expressed the view that, you know, he knew that Hitler deserved capital punishment, and that's just a question of where do you draw the line. And in our case, we have some prisoners who have committed extremely outrageous crimes. We have one who has gotten a verdict of death penalty, but whose execution has been upheld by the Supreme Court on technical grounds, who tied a man to a chair and tortured him for hours before he finally killed him. You know, life imprisonment is appropriate for some kinds of murder, but in especially outrageous case like that, I think capital punishment is appropriate.
So you'd look at it case by case is what you're what I'm hearing.
Exactly, yes.
Tom Horn, thanks a lot for being with us, and we'll see what happens then with this with the hearing today. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bill. Great to be with you.
Thanks a lot. Tom Horn, he is the Attorney General for the state of Arizona on The Buckmaster Show, and there is still more on The Buckmaster Show. Is homeschooling the right option for your child or your grandchild? We'll explore that next on Buckmaster.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show as we come up now on 1250 on AM 1030, KVOI, The Voice. Well, according to National Center for Education statistics, about 1.5 million students in the United States were homeschooled in 2007. That's the last year that they had figures for that. One estimate of homeschoolers in Arizona puts the number at over 35,000. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show is our contributor on education, Dr. Robert Hendricks. Dr. Hendricks is Associate Professor Emeritus at the University of Arizona College of Education. He's the former head of the Department of Educational Policy Studies and Practice and taught organizational theory, human resource management, and policy analysts at the master's and doctoral level at the UA. He's the former superintendent of the Flowing Wells School District. Dr. Hendricks is a former Arizona Top School Administrator of the Year. Dr. Hendricks, Bob, good to see you.
Good to be back.
Well, we've had a very heated show here talking about ethnic studies and education, but I think we're going to switch gears here. And we've wanted to do this topic the last couple of months. You come on the program, and for some reason, other things have come up. So we're going to talk about homeschooling. Is homeschooling kind of unique to the United States, or is it a concept that's gone popular in other places like Europe? And I know you just got back from China. I guess it's not really big over there.
No, you're not going to find much homeschooling in China. But you are going to find homeschooling, I think, much more prevalent in the international scene than it was a decade ago. And it certainly is growing in interest in the United States. And I have to admit, Bill, a decade ago, there was just a handful of people that I knew in my own professional experience that homeschooled, and it was a major, major commitment. Not to say that it isn't today, but 10 years ago, there really were not the resources that are available today. And in fact, the concept of homeschooling really, for some people now, they don't even call it homeschooling; they call it unschooling. It's this idea that you are not going to institutionalize your child, that it's not going to be formal in the sense that they're going to go to a physical place that's organized with a curriculum and some people say an agenda. And there is still a very large predominance of people homeschool who have a secular reason to do that. You know, they have a values base, a religious base, and they don't want their children in mainstream education. But I must say that from what I've read, there is an increasing number of students and parents who are taking their children out of public schools and private schools and putting them into a homeschool or unschool environment, you know, to educate them.
Well, I would not have wanted to be homeschooled because I just like the fact that I loved going to school and interacting with the other kids, and I enjoyed athletics, and I just liked, well, I love people, and I loved the interaction, and I think that would be missing from homeschooling.
Well, that's true, but I think there's some variations.
Unless
to the
I got together with other homeschoolers,
well,
and we
actually
had our own team, and
actually, that I think is what's beginning to happen. I think there are more of an interdisciplinary coalition of parents who are getting together, and banking on multiple resources and talents. And here in Arizona, it is possible, because of statute, to be able to do a mix and match plan. Now, there are some students who actually spend part of their day in a public school that go there for resources they would not be able to get at home, such as band, orchestra, chorus, even athletics. And that is permissible by law to do that. And so there is this possibility that you can still be more multidimensional in homeschooling. But this idea of a co-op of parents, even co-oping through outsourcing, you can hire tutors, you can go online, you can take advanced placement courses from online sources. So there are multiple ways that parents can do this if they believe in the concept. Obviously, as you move through the grades and you get into higher subject matter, certainly speaking for myself, I would need a great number of resources to do that. It's certainly one thing to be able to work with a youngster at the third grade level. Another thing to have a extensive curriculum at the high school level. One of the things that we continue to tout in public school is the idea that we want to have a good student-teacher ratio. And when you really think about it, if you have a high-quality homeschool environment, you have probably one of the most ideal ratios that you could have.
Yeah, one-on-one, right?
But then I also say, is this parent or is this adult have not only the commitment, the time commitment to do
qualifications,
but also the resources. You don't need to be certified. You do need to register enrollment with the county superintendent. County superintendent must know that you're homeschooling your child. But you don't have to take the regular series of tests that the state requires if you're in the public school environment. You certainly, from my perspective, would be encouraged to do that, so you have some kind of benchmarks to see how your child is doing. But again, anecdotally from my own personal experience, I know some parents, very well-educated parents, who homeschool their children, and their children do exceedingly well, although the research doesn't really support that or in any way underwrite that, because we just don't know.
How do these students that are homeschooled go on to college, and if they're not taking the tests? Like you say, there's no benchmark if they don't take the tests. I mean, how are they going to get into college? Is there a way to get a graduate certificate for high school if you've been homeschooled?
Well,
it just seems kind of confusing.
I think the universities, most universities have this tacit agreement that if the student takes the ACT or the SAT and that they do well enough, that they will accept that as the entering requirement, to go into college. And in fact, some of the private universities, small colleges, actually are beginning to tout more the kind of this creative idea of a curriculum that is a little bit more diverse, a little more eccentric than the idea of the normal curriculum. And so, from the creative side, some of these private universities and colleges may be very attracted to that. But there has to be some benchmark. I'm just suggesting that parents along the way, you wouldn't want to find out 12 years later that, although there's certainly indications in terms of ability to read, vocabulary use, expanded experiences, but a parent is in control of that, and you want it as the custodian of a successful child, you would hope that they would be responsible about that.
Got about 1 minute to go, but a caller who did not want to go on the air has this question. What if the homeschooler doesn't want to go on to further education but wants some sort of certificate of completion for a high school level education?
Well, I don't think it exists. I don't think it exists unless you go on your computer and create something.
Create your
yourself. But
yeah.
Certainly, honestly, Bill, in this state, I don't believe that there are any regulatory requirements or expectations that there be any kind of document that would be supported. So that could be a problem.
All right, Bob Hendricks, Dr. Robert Hendricks, our education contributor on the Buckmaster Show. Great to see you. Stay warm. Hopefully it won't freeze tonight.
And we'll see you next month.
All right, thank you so much. The Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates Certified Public Accountants, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com. We were just discussing with Bob Hendricks before we went on the air, should we cover the plants tonight? That's the big dilemma. Are we going to get into that freezing area? I think I will probably opt for covering the plants myself, since most of them are already starting to bloom up at Hacienda de Buckmaster. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show on this Monday. Hope you have a great afternoon.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas and 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.